This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Dickerson, Bostic, Callis here with you on the Fan Morning Show. Jeff Capel, 8:45. Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette at 9 a.m. Let the speculation begin. And it is ramping up, Pat. And as soon as you walked in here today, you brought this up. And I was like, we're going to get to that. And I just want to know how you feel about it. But we just talked about Brandon Ayuk and his situation and possibly working things out with the San Francisco 49ers. If he doesn't do that, I'm sure that he has many, many options, as I said before, of trade partners that he would love to go to, one of them being the Washington Commanders. But the Steelers do need a wide receiver. If it's not Brandon Ayuk, I think it has to be somebody. You just read off during the break there, read off some of the stats of the wide receivers of the Pittsburgh Steelers outside of George Pickens that they signed this offseason. And the conclusion of that is nobody has really done anything since 2021. These are almost project guys that you have outside of George Pickens. And to me, you just can't go into a season with one guy that you're hoping could be a number one, but still hasn't proven anything, and you have a bunch of other guys. And that's not to slight anybody. I get it. They're NFL players, and they're making a lot of money and did a good job at points of their career, but they're not. None of those guys are true number two or number one receivers. So to me, you have to look for a number one or number two receiver to head into this season if you want to compete. Russell Wilson was throwing with DK Metcalf. He was working out with DK Metcalf and former teammate in Seattle, and let the speculation begin. That's what you said whenever you came in here. You said, how about that? How do you feel about that? How do you feel about Russell Wilson working out with DK Metcalf? And is there anything to that? You think Russell Wilson's in his ear? Do you think that they're discussing anything, or you think it's just purely like, hey, I need somebody to catch and run routes for me?
I think they're boys and training together. I mean, I would love it. I think I do think ideally you get somebody a bit different than George Pickens. But to me, DK Metcalf is what George Pickens could be. He's that freakishly talented. Obviously, Metcalf is a unit in terms of his size, is how thick he is and how strong he is. But big play capability, ball skills, combat catch situations, run after catch. There's familiarity there. What's interesting is if you take a guy like DK Metcalf, let's say they made that work, and his cap hits like $24 million in 2024, which I'm not sure. It'd be interesting. How's George Pickens respond?
Well, he would be a number two.
George would?
Yes.
He'd be a number two. But what's interesting is, like, he's going to take away a lot of the targets that Pickens would get. Like, if you're going to say, hey, we're going to throw a post, deep post, we're going to throw a go route one-on-one. Now, it's nice to have two options on a go route, but you're going to throw a double move. Generally speaking, you're going to have one guy doing the double move. Who are you going to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you're taking at bats away, which, again, I'm okay with it because I don't think Pickens has proven to be that consistent. He flashes like crazy. So I would like it. I would like it in a number of ways. I think DK could help Pickens, but I don't think it'll happen.
But if you look at the positive side of it, and I don't know if George Pickens would ever get to the positive side of it, who knows? If that were the case, DK Metcalf's here. I've seen it a bunch of times. You know, Kevin Walter being one of the proponents of this, of being in the opposite side of Andre Johnson. Like, you're always open if you're number two. If you got somebody and they're going to double DK, they're going to roll to the side of DK, you're going to be open a majority of the times.
Yeah, you would
if you do have somebody to take the onus off you. Now, if you're the number one and you're George and you're going into the season, you're not used to being a number one, and you know coverages are rolling towards you and guys are skying and you know shading over top of you in the back end and you're getting double covered, that could be very frustrating if you don't know how to handle that and if you don't have the talent to handle that.
Well,
not saying he doesn't, but Antonio Brown was a little bit different. Like, he knew he can get through double teams.
He could, and you've got, right now, you've got a bunch of guys in Van Jefferson, Scotty Miller, Quez Watkins. You mentioned it. Their best years are 3 years ago, two years ago. So, Marquez Callaway, 2 years ago, he had a decent year in New Orleans. So, I think where I was coming from this, it's interesting you went this way. For me, where I was coming from was our conversation yesterday about training camp and like how you don't want to get too far away from it. To my knowledge, George Pickens doesn't have his family. You know, he's a third-year player. Like, why the hell aren't you there?
Right.
That's a
good point.
That's my point.
Good point.
Is like, and I would tell him, like, dude, you got a chance to be the one of the premier receivers of the National Football League. You've got one of the premier receivers over the last 5 years training with your quarterback right now. Go learn.
Yeah.
Spend a day. Like, you got the money to do it.
Yeah.
A day. Russell's out there grinding. And it's June. And you report in a month. Now it's 29 days.
And it's not like Russ, you know, wouldn't be inviting to that. Like, he knows what it takes to win. Like, I don't know what Russell's going to do this year, but he definitely knows what it takes to win. And I guarantee DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, even, you know, Doug Baldwin and Percy, those guys back in the day, I guaranteed that they had organized workouts right now before training camp started.
And that's what I was kind of curious, because Ben used to take those guys, and, you know, I forget the time of year. You know, I know Kenny had guys down in Florida, obviously, but, you know, Kenny's no longer in Pittsburgh. But Russell's a notorious grinder, and he hasn't been here for 6 months with a totally new group of receivers outside of George Pickens. But if I'm George, man, I'm at least there. And then it's the rest of the group. And yeah, they had OTAs and minicamp and all this stuff, but it's like, this is important time of year to get timing, rhythm, feel. And I hope Russell's in his ear, and I hope that DK Metcalf somehow ends up in Pittsburgh. Otherwise, like, there's a lot of people wasting their time. And Russell's getting throws in and reps and footwork and all that stuff, but it's like, that could be amplified by throwing to guys you're going to be playing with this fall. That's where I came at it from.
No, that's a great point.
As a quarterback, I'm like, I get your boys, and yeah, like you see plenty of. I mean, Lucas Kroll was that tight end you with a bunch of guys. You see the Manning passing camp, you see that kind of stuff. But if you're throwing with one guy, if I'm like I tend to think that Russell would have picked up the phone and called.
Absolutely.
These guys, like, come down, I'll put you up, get out here, let's grind.
Absolutely.
And my question is, I hope I start seeing some video of that too, and not just throwing to guys that are on the other coast.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. I mean, there was a video out there of Justin Fields throwing to Deontay Johnson. Did you see that video? Yeah. And then that's the one that Le'Veon Bell was like, oh, the throws are late. And I'm like, get out of here. Like, I mean, routes on air, but he's throwing to Deontay Johnson. Like, you would think that this would be organized, where you're actually throwing to the guys you're going to throw to this year.
Yeah, part of that is like, I can't comprehend that. And I come from, listen, I didn't play pro ball. I make that very clear. I come from a mentality where in college, man, you're here all summer, so you're always throwing with the guys you're going to play with, and I just feel like those reps are invaluable at this particular time of the year, particularly when there's so much new. It's a new offense. It's a new quarterback. It's four new receivers, right? I mean, you got a new tight end. You've got all these new components. Like, take advantage of it.
Yeah.
So that was really my mentality. Now, again, if it turns into DK Metcalf is getting recruited to come to Pittsburgh and it works out, time well spent. Count me in as someone saying, good job, Russ. That doesn't mean that Pickens and Miller and Watkins and those guys can't be there too.
I mean, you can't tell me that DK Metcalf was just hanging around. Like, I'm sure that was orchestrated for them to meet up there and to work out there.
And those guys haven't played together in what, 2 years?
Two, 3 years, yeah.
3 years. So, like, Yeah, I mean, it's been a while. So I would imagine this is something they do every offseason. I am not like pro players deserve a break. They deserve vacation, all that stuff. All I'm saying is, man, like you're putting video out too. Like it begs the question. Like, why aren't you with your dudes? Or why aren't your guys there? And I'm just a little bit dumbfounded by that.
What type, if it's not DK Metcalf and it's not Ayuk, like what type of receiver would you want the Steelers to get? Like what would fit the best? Like a bigger, like as a former quarterback, what would you want? Like say you're going after a number one receiver or even number two. Like would you want a bigger body receiver like DK, or would you want a smaller receiver like Ayuk? Or if those guys aren't available, like what route do you think the Steelers should take? If those guys are like, is Tyler Lockett a number one, or is he a number two, or is he number three? Like,
yeah, I would.
What would help this offense?
I would vote for someone that is incredibly positionally flexible and can move around, like a Lockett, like an Ayuk, could play outside, that could play inside. Because again, we've talked about this, right? Part of what's going to hold or could hold Pickens back is his ability to play multiple spots. That's always part of the learning curve, the growth curve for a receiver is where can you play and how multiple can you be. But, you know, guys that I mean, you look across the league, you know, a Devontae Smith, guys that can play inside and out. He's a number two, obviously, to AJ Brown to because I would call Pickens more of a monster receiver, more of like a one-on-one guy. You want somebody that if they're going to double and keep Pickens from taking the top off and going one-on-one, that can work in a slot against the safety and just go to town.
Like Cooper Kupp or something.
Cooper Kupp or Calvin Ridley or like a dude like that that just is a route runner and just gets open. Gets open and consistently makes plays. Doesn't have to be a guy that scores, you know, a bunch of 60-yard touchdowns. Doesn't have to be Tyreek Hill. But
can Roman Wilson be that guy?
He can, but you're
relying on him being.
You're relying on him being excellent as a rookie, and I think he has some physical limitations in terms of his speed is good, his toughness is great. Like they want him to be that guy, but I'm not sure you're there yet, you know. And Quez Watkins was that guy a little bit, right? Van Jefferson was that guy a little bit, but it was 3 years ago. So you're in the middle. You got a generational talent in Pickens, and I'm going to give him that credit because he's that good and can be that great. And then you've got a really solid rookie that has great upside, is going to be a really good player. And you got a bunch of reclamation projects. And there's just not a whole lot of certainty as to who's going to be productive and who's going to get Pickens open. And that's why I think if it was DK, you could find a way.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me. You're not going to be hurting for ways to get both those guys the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd vote for someone that could play more inside and I mean, candidly, a more consistent, less moody Deontay Johnson would be perfect.
Perfect.
But he talked his way out of this town.
Yep. It'd be perfect. Right now, I would think of them as them having a legit chance in the playoffs if Deontay was here and he had his mind right.
Like, if his mind was right, dude, like, he has his route running, his ability to separate, his... But it's the football IQ, it's the maturity that just killed him, and him and George together was compounding the problem. So that's why, you know, a Cooper Kupp or that type of player that's just solid, steady, and could be a leader of that group too. You wish you had that.
Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. About a year ago, I said that, you know, the movie Terminator is one of my favorite movies, and James Cameron was onto something, and we are going to see robots one day. We're getting closer to that, and there's a little bit of that happening coming soon. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. Doran Dickerson here, Pat Bostick. Nicholas Harry Callis is here as well. You all right back there, Callis?
It's getting to be that time of day.
Oh, is it? 8:22, that's your time?
Yeah.
Or you're just kind of like hitting that wall?
Yeah.
You have to work your other job today, too?
I do.
What's you're at a TV station, right?
Yeah, I'm not the media specialist, though. I do their social media there now, too. The whole Bethel Park municipality.
Wow.
He's big time.
A true Renaissance man.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. A man of many talents.
Did you hear about the hot dog eating contest that these that the producers are doing, Pat, on July 3rd?
Next week. So you, Bechtold.
Donnie.
Some of the part-timers, Shawn Myers. Joel.
Joel Nelson.
Cows is a little worried about it.
You're worried?
I'm not worried. I think it's
a two-horse race.
Yes.
Callis and Donnie football.
Yes. And he thinks he can eat, what, 16 hot dogs in how long is it?
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
10-minute competition. I'm not worried. I'm not good at estimating how much I can eat. But
you think Bechtold can eat like 3?
No. No.
In 10 minutes?
No.
Yeah, maybe 5.
Bechty? He's 120 pounds.
Yeah, it's 10 minutes, though. You think he can eat 3 in 10 minutes?
Yeah, we talked about this before because we were talking about what's our food.
I thought it was just him and Donnie.
No, it's
it's the whole collection.
I didn't think the candidate pool had expanded.
There should be about 6 of us, yeah.
A wide swath of talent.
Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. NBC announced that they will use AI to recreate Al Michaels' voice for custom recaps during the 2024 Olympics. I heard one of the custom recaps. And that's what I said before, that we're getting closer and closer to Terminator land, Pat, where machines and AI is going to take over.
I saw this.
How do you feel about it?
I feel like I hope Al's getting paid.
Oh, he should get me.
He's getting paid.
A lot.
The recaps, I would imagine, are very easy because they can just type it and the thing will say it. I don't know how, if we get to a world where like AI machines are calling live games, that I don't think we're there yet, man. This is like a recap. This is like, hey, this is what happened. We're telling this machine to say it.
This is a trial run.
It is a trial run, but you have to be able to see, process. Like,
I don't want that to happen because that's RIP. My dreams and your job.
Yeah, that's everybody's going to be out of a job.
So this is my fundamental problem with that. And I'm going to get on my soapbox here. Why are human beings trying to extinct human beings? Why are we trying to, like, rid the world of jobs and livelihoods because we want to have fun with machines? What's going to end up happening is the damn things are going to turn on us.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Terminator.
Start shooting us down, chasing us down, and beating the living hell out of us.
Yes.
And that is, like, don't play with fire now. So you could be all smart in a lab and get this thing going, but next thing you know, that thing's going to pop up, bust through the glass, and start beating you.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I mean, I think that we've learned from movies, like The Terminator, like Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park, you know
what? Jurassic Park coming out.
I know. So yeah, that's going to be, I love Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm. Scary.
Yes.
I mean,
I'll tell you one thing, though, from one perspective, because I'm a Star Wars fan. I did think it was cool that they were going to recreate, what's his name now? James Earl Jones. That's
yes.
it.
For the voice of Darth Vader.
Which I think that's useful because he's not going to be able to speak like Darth Vader forever. So if you create that and you're trying to write more Star Wars movies with more characters.
Yeah, okay, movies are one thing, Callus.
I know. No, that's what
life.
I'm saying. Well, there's a line where I think that there is a use for it. Sports and commentating and like real world scenarios where these mistakes and these impromptu things happen. I agree. That's where I draw the line. Creativity and art is one thing. This kind of
like robot umps. Are you for it or against it?
No, I'm for that too.
Well, that's kind of the same realm, right?
Because when you're officiating, if you have a system that is designed to interpret the rules as close to as they are as possible, you're creating the most neutral field of play for the players competing. Now, if you have artificial intelligence competing, there's no point. You're not really deciding who's better. You're deciding which machines are better. And there's a place for machines being better at things, but not in the competition of sports. I don't think you take away the fun of that.
Human error is a part of everything.
Yeah.
And I'm all for intermittent reviewable pitches, reviewable, penalty calls, reviewable, sideline catches. I'm all for it. Not not to the point that it's gotten to, which is like every time. I'm all for O'Neal Cruz throwing a ball to first base and it being thrown 114 miles per hour. I'm all for that. Like, it's useful, sometimes ridiculously unuseful, but it's interesting information. I'm not for, like, let's just make this stuff robotic, where it's like 100% right all the time.
Right.
Because, like,
I guess I'm not for the robo umps. I do think there should be a way for the strike zone to be called a certain way. It doesn't necessarily have to be robots.
No, I mean, I guess not robots. You're talking about like a, hey, listen, you got an earpiece in or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because there's still an element of that an umpire, you know this better than us. There's an umpire's got to manage a game.
Yeah.
They got to manage, you know, managers, they got to manage the players, they got to manage everything. So, like, yes, if there was, you know, some sort of glasses they could wear that, like, it was green if it was a strike,
right,
and red if it was, I'm sure they can do that. Sure, you can wear glasses down golf that can read putts for you, that shows you slope and percentages. I'm sure they can do that with baseball.
Yeah.
Cool. We're assisting humankind. We're advancing the human condition. If we start messing with, like, making robot soldiers and Navy SEALs and stuff.
Star Wars, you got the droids.
I'm dude, just saying. That scares the hell out of me, man.
We're not as close as I'm portraying right now, but we're not far away.
We already got drones in the Air Force so that pilots don't actually have to fly.
Assisting humans. We start having drone pilots that fly fighter jets that, like,
oh, that are manned by the artificial intelligence.
Yes.
Not just
next thing
so
you
drones.
Know, things heading towards something and just doubles back.
I love how we got to this point off of Al Michaels.
Yeah, but you took it to the robot world, yep, like Terminator stuff. And, you know, at that point, my blood pressure increases. I start to get concerned and I start worrying about my kids.
Right.
Like, seriously.
I mean, all joking aside, if, like, this goes well, like, we will be out of a job. I mean, well, at least the next generation will be out of a job. Because, especially, like, calling games.
Okay, so we just took...
You don't have to pay as much money.
I disagree with you, though.
You do on the front end, but not on the back end.
I disagree with you, though, because, like, right now, we're at a point where they're able to harness Al Michaels' voice. And, like they've done in video games for years now.
Yep.
Where they're able to make, which I think
Herbstreit,
is crazy.
Yes.
Herbstreit can, like, he knows which player makes which cut on which play.
Yes.
They've got the algorithm figured out so well. Now you can do that on live television with a recap of the Olympics. We just took that and turned it into a spontaneous discussion about the end of our existence as human beings. Can robots have that type of off-the-cuff conversation on the air right now? Like, we...
Absolutely. Yeah.
You think so?
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't they?
You sick person.
Well, why wouldn't they, Pat? You just said in video games, I mean, they could tell you which angle and, you know, what player it is.
I'm not saying I like it better. I'm just saying that's reality that we're in right now. They had artificial intelligence play Jeopardy, remember, a few years ago. What was that thing called?
Oh, yeah.
The IT machine? I forget the name they called it, but yeah, it was playing Jeopardy.
This is starting my day off on a miserable foot.
So it's just the artificial intelligence saying, I mean, maybe they're not going off the cuff, but, like, they hear one thing and they could come up with, like, 100 different subjects to, like, go off on a tangent
into.
It's
like a ChatGPT.
It's possibilities. It's all about that possibility. Like, what do I know?
So three robots are interacting in a conversational way.
For sure.
It could definitely happen.
For sure.
And it's possible. I'm not saying I would like it or that it's certain, but it's possible.
Do people want to tune in?
Well, I mean, they wouldn't have a choice if that's the direction it's going.
What if they, I mean, from radio
station.
Hey,
we're the human radio station.
Yes, we're the
human. You can listen to the AI radio station, turn over to 93.7.AI.
Yeah, right.
That's kind of scary to think about on radio, too. We could just get replaced here in a couple years and... You just, hey, we got these new personalities on the air. You drop some caricatures.
Yes,
back. You just hear the voices. Craig are driving down the road right now. Like, well, that's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
People would be like, why did the camera, you know, go away? Why did the live stream go away? But, like, here's just voices, and you just
look at these guys planning their own death on the air right now.
I mean, it's the truth.
They could tweet to people on their own. You could link a Twitter account or an X account with.
I don't
with
like
the personalities.
That
we got to shut him off because he's just building the case.
I mean, he has a great case. He has a great case.
You bring it up, it's possible.
He's doing this at Bethel Park right now. Not the media department.
Could artificial intelligence be as real as me right now about artificial intelligence?
Hell
no. That's what he's kind of saying, right? That's what you're saying.
Hell I don't know what to think anymore. I'm sad.
Why couldn't it be, though, if they're programmed?
I would love to see a debate between an AI robot and Crowley.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that would
He'd be shaking so bad of walking in the room to sit across the
table.
Can
you see him just like...
How many mistakes he makes, how many things he just misinterprets?
He just like... He would just start throwing words out to see if he could get the robot to like glitch. And then all of a sudden, Crowley would just... I could see him. You know how his mouth moves a little bit?
Yeah.
He just cut...
Why are you moving your mouth, Adam?
He's just like... And all of a sudden, he'd just be like, all right, I'm done.
I'm done. There's a list that was put out there yesterday by PFF College. Somebody was left off that list, but I do want to go in a different direction after we talk about the guy that was left off that list. Listen to the Starkey Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week. From Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry, contests run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 p.m. at the 937thefan.com contesting page. Dickerson, Callis, Bostic here with you on the Fan Morning Show. Jeff Capel will join us next, but let me scroll through my phone here to get this up. There it is. PFF College put out a list yesterday of the best running backs, college running backs of all time. And on that list, you have Bo Jackson, Herschel Walker, Archie Griffin, Barry Sanders, Earl Campbell, Ricky Williams, and Reggie Bush. And then the next box was a question mark. There's an obvious guy that was left off that list, which was Tony Dorsett, who won the Heisman. And I think he still is, what, top five in rushing of all time?
Oh, yeah.
He was obviously left off that list. And, you know, Pitt fans are a little bit upset about that. But I do want to go in a different direction, Pat, with you, because it is summer, and it's the summer of hypotheticals. I mean, this is what we do. We do Mount Rushmores. We do hypotheticals. We play games because we're just kind of
buying time. We're not robots.
We're not robots. We're not robots. We're buying time for football season to get here. It got me thinking last night because I was watching some of Tony Dorsett's clips from back in the day. Who is that one Pitt player you wish you could have watched in person? And who is that one Pitt player that you wish you could have played with?
Well, this is easy.
Is
I wish I could have played with Larry Fitzgerald.
That's mine, too.
I wish I could have watched Hugh Greene in person. Either him or Frelick. Just because of the, like, I've talked to Jimbo Covert and Marino and those guys about just, like, the battles in practice between, like, Jimbo Covert, Ricky Jackson, Bill Frelick, Russ Grimm, and Hugh Greene. And just, like, practice was so hard and the games were, like, cake.
Because
they were so good on both sides of the ball that it was, practice was just murder's row. And to this day, and I mean this with all due respect, I've never seen a scarier human being.
He is.
I've never seen a more menacing looking. I could imagine looking at him across the line of scrimmage in the eye.
Not the biggest guy, though.
No, but just.
Just.
He had bad intentions.
Yeah.
And not like sinister, but like he's coming after you.
Yeah.
And he was more than likely going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was more than likely going to hurt. And like, I'd want to watch him play. I would not want to play against him.
I would want to watch Marino.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's one that I would want to like go back in time and watch. I had two that I want to play with. Frelick was one of them. Like, to be able to line up next to him and know that, you know, we were going to run the ball and we were going to be protected. Like, and just how, I mean, he created the pancake block. And RIP, I mean, one of my favorite of all time. I used to talk to him all the time. Great human being. Great guy. There's a lot. Like, it wasn't as easy as I thought it would be. Because, I mean, I would have loved to played with Aaron Donald. I mean,
yeah.
Just watching him, being on the sidelines during a defensive series.
Yeah.
And just watching him absolutely just shred everybody.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about it is, like, Marino, I felt like I watched him so much as a kid on TV.
Right.
I don't remember watching Hugh Greene.
No.
Because his NFL career was not as memorable as his college career. But yeah, you go back like Mike Ditka,
mm-hmm.
like some of these guys that played Joe Schmidt,
yep,
that are all-time greats in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's a lot, man. But for me, it's like I'm always, because I'm just the antithesis of a physical specimen, guys that fit that bill, of which you would fit the bill. I want to see those guys, man.
Like, you know who I did see whenever I was about 5 years old, and I remember vividly because my uncle was the head coach at Temple.
Ironhead Hayward would be another one.
He would be another one, for sure.
I mean, Ironhead, a 268-pound running back.
Yes, back in like the late 80s.
Dear Lord.
Yes.
It's like Jerome Bettis before Jerome
Bettis. Right. Is
God rest his soul.
It was like 65-0. Temple came to Pitt. We went to Pitt Stadium. I was like 5 years old, and I remember Curtis Martin, and he had like 300 yards.
Oh, yeah.
300 yards against my uncle. So I just wanted to, I thought that was going to be easy, but it actually was a lot harder than I thought it would be. Coming up next, Pitt men's head coach of Pitt basketball, Jeff Capel. He will join us. Dickerson, Bostic, Nicholas, Harry, Callis with you on the Fan Morning Show. Bob Carrington, 14th overall in the NBA draft. Gets drafted to Portland, then immediately traded to Washington. You know, probably was his hometown team growing up. Grew up in Baltimore, so he is a Washington Wizard. And right now joining us on the Fan Hotline is Pitt men's basketball head coach Jeff Capel. Jeff, appreciate you taking the time to come on the show with Pat and I. And I'm sure the emotions were flowing last night, seeing, you know, your point guard who played 1 year, went in and developed and was drafted 14th overall, was a lottery pick. I'm sure that your emotions were just through the roof to experience that with one of your former players.
Well, it was an incredible night, first and foremost, just to be there with his family and to soak all of the energy in the building and to see him experience that. You know, Bub is so young, and this was something we talked last night. You know, a year ago to that night, that's something that none of us expected. You know, we knew that he would have a chance when we recruited him. I thought he would definitely have a chance to be a pro before it to happen as quickly as it did. And then, you know, to be a lottery pick, look, he was the first player from the ACC selected. He was the youngest American player in the draft. And I think it's a testament to all of his hard work that he was able to put himself in a position to become a lottery pick. And it was awesome. It was awesome. And when his name was called, to see the joy on his face, to see his parents and his grandparents and his sister, and to see all of Baltimore. You know, they had a bus that drove up from Baltimore with a bunch of family and friends, and some of his college teammates were there. Some of his high school teammates were there in the building. So it was pretty incredible.
Coach, you mentioned, I think you did an interview with a local TV station. You said that he'll end up being the best, not only the best guard in this draft, you think he'd be the best player in this draft based on your assessment. Why do you say that?
Well, I just think that, number one, he's talented right now, and I think everyone saw that. Everyone that watched him play for us this past year, you saw that, and you saw him grow. But I just think he's really, really smart. He has an old-school work ethic. He's very serious about what he does, and he doesn't have any distractions. He wants to be really, really good, and I've said this over and over, all of those things that I mentioned, his greatest strength is his mind. He's really, really smart. And I think you're just starting to see, I think he's just starting to scratch the surface of who he will eventually become. I think he will grow again. And I just know, you know, how hard he will work. And it's exciting to be a part of this journey with him and to, you know, have something like that happened last. I mean, this is a kid, and, you know, he, you know, his parents mentioned this to me last night, like, you know, look, we're in a different space right now in college athletics with NIL and everything like that. But this is an example of doing it kind of the old school way, and everything he's done has been done that way. And even picking a school. You know, I text my wife afterwards last night, you know, after he was picked. I mean, this kid believed in us like we believed in him. He believed in us before we won. Like, Bub committed in it was June 15th going to his senior year. That was before, you know, my fifth year as head coach here. So Nelly and JB, those, they hadn't played a game. We hadn't won. He believed in us. He believed in the University of Pittsburgh. He believed in our program, and we believed in him. It was never about anything else but basketball and relationship and fit. It wasn't about NIL. It wasn't about, you know, the name as far as, you know, blue blood or anything like that. It was about those things. And to me, man, when it's all about the right stuff, then really good stuff happens, and the money is coming, and so it's just an incredible story, man. One that's very rare these days.
Yeah, Jeff, and that just rolls into really what I wanted to ask you right now. And I was sitting there last night, and Bub's name flashes across the screen, and he gets picked, and I see you give him a hug and his parents, and I'm being truthful right now, and I'm not being biased. I was like, if I was a young basketball player getting recruited or wanting to transfer, why wouldn't I want to go to Pitt? Like, why wouldn't I? There's a lottery pick that just got picked last night who was a one-and-done player, an 18-year-old. There's probably going to be a second-round pick tonight in Blake Hinson, who decided to come back another year. You're on a winning trend. Your team plays hard. How much does Bub Carrington getting drafted at 14th overall mean to your program and what you can bring in moving forward?
Yeah, well, it means a lot. I mean, you know, hopefully what it does is show, look, all of these kids have dreams of becoming a pro. They all have dreams of playing in the NBA. I understand that. I was in their shoes once. I was their age, and I had the same dreams and aspirations. Hopefully what it shows is that you can do now, like, you can do that here. You know, this is the first round pick we've had, our program has had, since Steven Adams. My hope is that it's not the last, and I don't think that it will be. But hopefully what this shows is that if you're about the right stuff, if you put in the work, you know, that you can do it at our place. You don't have to go to, quote-unquote, one of the names. You know, Bub was a guy, and Jalen fits that bill, too. So does Ish, and you know, every current guy on our team, every guy that's been on our team the past 2 years, they've been about the right stuff. They've been about, you know, we have a word in our program that's one of our tenets, is that we appreciate what we have. And they've all been incredibly grateful, man. And I can't underscore this too much. They have been incredibly grateful, man, to be at the University of Pittsburgh. That's the main thing, and they never have lost light of that. In all of my years of being in basketball, and I've had the opportunity and the privilege to be at this draft, you know, many times, I've never had one where a player invites his teammates. And it was seven of them here last night. And when his name was called, you heard them. Like, they were the loudest. And hopefully that's an example of the culture that we've created. And my big thing, and I've told our staff this, I told them this after, you know, 2 years, you know, after the season before last, when it ended with Nelly, JB, Greg, Nike Sabande, those guys, and Blake came in with that class. They're the guys that helped set this foundation and set this culture and were examples. And because of them, you know, when Blake came back and the twins, they were able to sustain it and keep it going. But it's all about being grateful, and they're appreciative of the University of Pittsburgh. They're grateful and appreciative of the city of Pittsburgh. They love it, and then they're really appreciative to be a part of our program.
Well, Coach, transition a little bit. Talking to Jeff Capel on 93.7 The Fan. You guys have had some workout. I've seen some video clips coming from the Peterson Event Center. You've got a new group, got a lot of returners. You talked about the seven that were in Brooklyn last night. How's practice going so far? How do you like the new additions to your roster?
Yeah, it's going really well. We started earlier this week, so Monday was our first day. You know, it was the start of second session of summer school, so we have all of our guys in. And I'm excited about who I think we can become, first and foremost. These guys have been working their butts off. We've had a group of guys that started first session of summer school. They chose and elected to be here so they could get a head start. So that was really all of our new guys, except for Omsel. He had some things that he had to clear with customs and with, you know, getting visa and, you know, all of those things situated before he could get here. And so he was the last one to get here. They're all working really, really hard. You know, I think we'll have a chance to be good again. They have great attitudes. They're, again, they're appreciative and grateful to be here. And, you know, we look forward to continuing to work to get better and to become a team and to figure each other out and to put all these pieces together and to, and to really see who we can become. We're excited about who we can become.
Jeff, last question for you real quick. Should Blake Henson, and do you expect Blake Henson to get drafted tonight?
Yeah, we certainly hope. Blake has done his part in that he has really performed and interviewed well. I don't think anyone's surprised by the interview part of it. And I don't think anyone's surprised by the play part of it. I mean, he's a really good player, and he's an unbelievable kid. I've told every team that's called me in all of my years of coaching, assistant coach, head coach, Blake is probably the best teammate I've ever been around. And I think every one of his teammates the last 2 years will attest to that. So we hope, and I think there's a chance. But if he's not, we feel really good about, you know, him being signed by a team, you know, at a minimum on a two-way contract. I've had teams that have reached out to me already about if he's not drafted, they want him immediately, you know, on a two-way contract, which would be really good for his development. But hopefully we hear his name called today and, you know, he's able to have that. That's every kid's dream doing this.
Well, Jeff, we appreciate your time, and we're happy that you got to experience that with Bub Carrington last night, experience that part of him getting drafted. That is unbelievable. So appreciate your time, and we're looking forward to the season this year.
Sounds good, man. Hail to Pitt.
Hail to Pitt. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Pat, that was pretty good stuff there.
Good stuff, man.
Really
I enjoyed
good stuff.
It.
Yes, sir.
He's done a heck of a job with this program. Let's hope it continues.
Absolutely. Appreciate you taking some time as well. We'll see you next
709,
week.
709, rubber match.
Rubber match. We'll see you next week. Coming up next, Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette will get his thoughts on Bub Carrington, the Pitt basketball program, and the NBA draft last night. But first, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 89, low of 60, partly cloudy. Tomorrow, high of 84, low of 66, 60% chance of rain.